Today on Life Talk.
The devil is out for your faith. If he can get your faith, will you finally say, I don't believe in God anymore, his goodness anymore, his protection anymore, and you walk away? That's what he was after. And you think he doesn't use betrayal to try to get into our life and affect us that way? If the devil can't defeat you, he'll defeat somebody whose defeat defeats you.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
As the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness on their way to the promised land, they learned some lessons the hard way. Unfortunately, they were not teachable, and they often provoked God's displeasure. But the good news is, we're told by the Apostle Paul, quote, these things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. So even though God's people failed miserably in their own wilderness experience, that is not to be our own story. We can learn from their mistakes through the teaching of the Word of God. And you know, one of the most painful things they experienced was betrayal. And I have to say, this tough lesson came Moses and Aaron's way more than anybody else's. These two top leaders of the wilderness journey were turned against and attacked over and over again. They had to learn to deal with betrayal repeatedly. I think this is one of the hardest lessons to learn, but one that God can walk us through victoriously. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, The Wilderness of Betrayal, from our series, Wilderness Wanderings.
Now, we've been talking about wilderness experiences because we go through wilderness experiences. And we need to understand that it's part and parcel of the Christian life. It's not something you ought to be going through all the time. You ought not always be in a wilderness, but we do experience wildernesses. There's not a person in this room that hasn't experienced the sting of betrayal. Somewhere along the way, some of you are bleeding inside today because you've been betrayed. Nobody was betrayed like Joseph in the sense that as many times. He was betrayed not once, not twice, but repeatedly, several times. And so I'm going to talk more about Joseph in just a moment. I love that story. I can't ever read the story of Joseph from stem to stern without weeping at the end of the story, no matter how many times I've read it. It's such a moving account of God's sovereign operation in the life of a man. So the question is, not have you been betrayed, but how do you navigate the stormy waters of betrayal to continue your spiritual journey unfettered, unhindered, continue your pursuit of God without being sidelined by that pain of betrayal? I want you to consider the betrayal that Joseph, the patriarch Joseph, experienced. Watch this. As a teenager, he was the victim of resentment, hatred, and bitter rejection by his own family, his brothers. The Bible says when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. He was later, get this, kidnapped by his own brothers and thrown into a deep, dark, narrow, claustrophobic well. Listen, this is a horrible experience. When Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his coat of many colors, and they took him and threw him into the abandoned well. The well was empty. There was no water in it. They dropped him down into a narrow well where you couldn't move your arms all the way out. But it didn't stop there. He was sold as a slave by those same brothers to the Ishmaelite slave traders. It says in Genesis 37:28. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the well. Now, you know what he was thinking. Oh, praise God, they're pulling me up, and this joke is over. But no, it was no joke. They pulled him up out of the well and sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. Now, there's a double whammy here. Not only sold into slavery, but his brothers sold him for a cheap 20 pieces of silver. That's all this little guy is worth to us. Take him. The Bible says they shackled him, so he's being carried away in the slave caravan, and behind him looking at him, the cold, stark, expressionless, angry countenance of his brothers. See ya. Betrayal. And then when he gets to Egypt, he's sold as a slave again. Put on the slave block twice. He's sold to an Egyptian named Potiphar. The Bible says that Potiphar's wife cast her eyes on him, tried to seduce him sexually day by day by day. He resisted till finally she said, "You don't reject me and get away with it." So she lied about him. And the Bible says, when his master, her husband, heard the story, and a story indeed, it was a made-up story, his wife told him, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger and had Joseph thrown into prison for something he did not do. He was there, are you ready? He was there for years on a false charge. Well, he's down there, and two of Pharaoh's servants get thrown down there, the chief baker, the chief butler. Joseph sees their sad countenance. Joseph is trusting God. You sense that his spirit is up. He's not in there playing a violin about how life has treated him wrongly. He has enough of the grace of God on him to focus on somebody else's need. So he goes up to the butler and the baker and he says, "What's the matter with you guys?" "Well, we've been thrown down here," and essentially Joseph helped them. And when they got delivered out of prison, he said, "Now don't forget me. Please remember me when you go before Pharaoh." But the Bible says they forgot Joseph. Betrayed, 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 hated, betrayed, lied about, forgotten. This is the first half of Joseph's life, not a great beginning. If this was a book, this would be a rough book, the first half. But God was writing his book. God was writing his book. The psalmist tells us God sent Joseph to Egypt. Can everybody say sovereignty? Can you say with me, God's in charge, even when it looks like he's not? What I notice is amazing about Joseph. He didn't withdraw into a cave of self-pity. He didn't go find a group of whiners to throw whining parties with. He didn't let these things destroy his life, or even more amazingly, his faith. His faith was not destroyed by these things. Because I learned a long time ago, the devil's not out to make something go bump in the night or give you a flat tire. The devil is out for your faith. If he can get your faith, will you finally say, "I don't believe in God anymore, his goodness anymore, his protection anymore," and you walk away? That's what he was after. And you think he doesn't use betrayal to try to get into our life and affect us that way? If the devil can't defeat you, he'll defeat somebody whose defeat defeats you. Remember that. If he can't get at you, he'll get at somebody close to you, and maybe that somebody close to you betrays you. And the devil knows, if I can get to them, I'll get to him because they love them. That's right. Now, we know that he more than conquered betrayal by what he named his two children. Let me just look at this real quickly. I love what he named his kids. It says in Genesis 41:51, Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, meaning to forget. "For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." Now, he's not saying God gave me amnesia. I can't remember my brothers. I can't remember my daddy. He said, "The sting is gone. The pain is gone. I don't live in the world of rewind. I'm not constantly hitting playback in the theater of my mind. I'm not constantly looking at what was done to me. God has taken the sting away. I am free from what was done to me. When I think of my brothers, I don't feel like running and throwing up, or I'm not filled with rage, but I can think about them and I'm fine because my God has made me forget. He has taken away the pain." I love that. So he calls little boy to him, "Come here, forgetful. Come here, sit on daddy's lap. Daddy, why'd you call me forgetful?" "I called you forgetful because God healed my memories from what was done to me." Well, that's good stuff. I'm going to get this CD. I'm going to listen to this on the way down the road. Now, here's the second child. The name of the second one he called Ephraim, "For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." You know what he's saying there? In the very place where Satan tried to destroy me, my God prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. Right where the devil tried to take me down and take me out, when he went for my jugular and was going for my faith and wanted to wipe me out and ruin my destiny, my God caused me to prosper and succeed and bear fruit right there. Right there. You know, life is like a chess game, and you got the devil moving pieces and God moving pieces, and sometimes it looks like the devil moves the pieces. Uh-oh, it looks like the devil is winning the game. But listen, our God, my God, your God, the God of the Bible, is always the one that says, checkmate. Always. Always. That's why the Bible says God always causes us to triumph in Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If God be for us, who can be against us? No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is of him, says the Lord. Amen. So come here, forgetful. Come here, fruitful. Sit on daddy's lap. I named you those names because of what God did in my life. Amen. So God made him forget the sting of betrayal. And God caused him to be fruitful. Right where the enemy had tried to destroy him. Now, when I study Joseph's life, there's two keys. And I'm going to just give you two simple keys that Joseph had a grip on, that he had a hold of, that he understood, that carried him through betrayal to the other side, where he became second only to Pharaoh in all the land of Egypt. And he avoided becoming an angry, bitter, cynical old man, mad at God, mad at the world, mad at life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to end that way. I want to end with a skip in my step and a smile on my face and with joy in my heart and a song on my lips. I want to go out praising God. I don't want to be bitter and angry. I want to be joyful, and I want to be anointed, and I want to be powerful in God when I go. So here's the first key. Say with me, he embraced God's grace.
He embraced God's grace.
He embraced God's grace. This is so important. See, anytime we're hurt, when betrayal comes, or anything that is adversarial in our life, when that happens, the invisible hand of the grace of God is always extended to help us. It's that silver lining of grace. It's amazing grace. It is predictable grace. It is loyal grace. It is God's grace. And what is grace? Grace gives you the desire to do and the power to do God's will. Back to the exercising analogy. I've done this. I've worked out at times in my life. Now I cycle, but I did work out for a while. You get on that bench press and you push. And you're pushing a certain amount of weight. Now you reach a point, you're going to do 10 reps, but you get to about 7. And man, your arms are shaking. You say, I can't. There's no way I'm going to pull 10. And then somebody comes up behind you called a spotter. And the spotter puts his fingers on that bar and he says, come on, you can do it. And he helps you do what you could never have done on your own.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear. And that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Grace is a spotter. And you say, I can't forgive. There's no way. Look what they did to me. And grace comes and says, come on. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And our job is to respond to the grace. Joseph shows us that no matter what you're going through, there will always be the silver lining of grace. It's there. When you're sick, it's there. When you're defeated, it's there. When you have failed, it's there. When you're struggling with temptation, it's there. When you've been betrayed, it's there. When you're in trouble, it's there. The grace of God. That's why we love Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Even our salvation begins with the spotter. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me and that keeps a wretch like me. Now, here's the deal. When we refuse to respond to the grace of God, we almost always fall to bitterness. The Bible says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive. I want you to look at that verse on the screen. That we fail to receive, notice it, the grace of God. So that means I can respond to the grace or I can fail to receive it. Watch, he says, that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. You know, I've noticed something pastoring many years now. Many Christians are much more adept at carrying an offense than they are carrying the cross. We so easily carry that offense. Well, they did this to me, they did that to me, I'm going to carry this and I'm going to gather people around me who will help me carry it. And we carry those offenses instead of carrying the cross. If you carry the cross, you will always respond to the grace. You will embrace the grace and forgive. The power to do and the desire to do the will of God. And it's always God's will when we're betrayed to forgive. Kathy and I have experienced the valley of betrayal in serious ways in our past. And we had to forgive sometimes 20, 30 times a day, but we knew, listen, somebody is waiting on the other side of our obedience. And now I'm looking at them. Right here. And so we said, we can either embrace the grace and forgive and move on, or we can fall into bitterness. And I know what happens to bitter people. They are miserable. They never have any joy. There is no laughter. All the zing is taken out of life. You might as well be dead than be bitter. Bitterness will sap you dry. Bitterness will ruin your life. Bitterness will take all that was meant to be lived and enjoyed and ruin it and wreck it and sabotage it. Bitterness is a trap. And grace comes as a spotter. Forgive, come on, you can do it. Just say it. I forgive. Oh, I don't think they deserve it. No, they don't deserve it, but you didn't deserve it either. So forgive. And you forgive. Because yeah, they betrayed you, but we betrayed God. Did we not? And isn't Jesus good that he came and forgave us every time we betrayed him and wronged him and sinned against him? Now, here's the good thing. When Joseph embraced the grace, I want you to look at what happened. The Lord was with Joseph and blessed him greatly as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. And it says, Potiphar noticed the favor and blessing on his life and realized the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. Oh, there's a blessing when you embrace the grace. There's a blessing when you embrace the grace. And so Potiphar ended up putting him in charge of everything over his whole household. And then when Joseph was thrown into prison, it was his same MO. He did the same thing. I believe in the hand of God. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe my God is with me, though all men are against me. As a matter of fact, here's the lesson we learned from Joseph. Life's not fair, but God is good. Life's not fair. If you think when you got saved that all the unfairnesses of life are going to go away, let me pop your bubble real quick and tell you that sometimes you have more trouble because you got saved because now the devil's after you. But here's the deal. Life's not fair. People will betray you. Things won't go your way. You may have letdowns, setbacks, discouragements, disillusionments, but God is good and he reveals his goodness by his grace. Grace is extended. So can we say together, life's not fair, but God is good. I think we ought to shout that at the devil. Let's try it one more time. Life's not fair, but God is good. Give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm telling you, yes. God doesn't always change negatives. I wish he did. But if he changed all the negatives I wanted him to, I'd never grow because I'd never be pushing weight that was hard for me to push. And I'd never get to know the spotter. Now, here's the second key. Joseph stayed focused on the bigger picture. Oh, this is so important. He embraced the grace, but he also kept his eyes on the bigger picture. Now, I wrote a book called The Windshield is Bigger Than the Rearview Mirror. It came from a saying that went like this. There's a reason the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror. Here's why, because driving a car, you got to look out that windshield or you're going to wreck. If you drive according to the rearview mirror, you're going to wreck. The rearview mirror was made for occasional glances, not for constant gaze. Sometimes I need that rearview mirror to avoid trouble, but primarily I drive looking through the windshield and it's that way with life. Joseph said, I'm not going to live life in the rearview mirror. I'm not going to constantly replay the faces of my brothers as I was carried away. I'm not going to constantly replay that lying woman who lied about me and had me sent into prison. By the way, I've always wondered, what happened to Mrs. Potiphar when Joseph got promoted? I think she went into hiding. But keeping his eye on the bigger picture is how he kept his sanity. He remembered the dreams that God had given him. Now, you got to remember, in Joseph's day, there was no Bible. Moses hadn't come. So there wasn't even Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, not even the Pentateuch. Nothing. There was no Bible. So God spoke to people in dreams. And he gave Joseph two dreams. And in both dreams, he saw himself in a place of great authority and prominence. And he twice showed his family in subservience to him. Being a little guy, young guy, not having any wisdom, he went and told his brothers, part of the reason he ended up in a well. Some things you need to keep quiet. Don't cast your pearls before swine. So God gave him a dream. Now, you think he didn't lean on that dream, those dreams, when he was going through all these betrayals? You better know that he did. He leaned on those dreams, remembered those dreams, recalled those dreams. Instead of recalling the betrayals, he recalled the dreams, the promise, the destiny, the call. He kept his eyes on what God had said he was going to do with him and through him, not on what people did to him. You know what I've learned? God ministers many things in the early days of our walk to prepare us for what's coming. We don't know what's coming, but he does. You think the Lord didn't know what was coming for Joseph? The betrayals, the lies, the slavery, and the prison? You think of course he knew. So he said, I'm going to give you two dreams that are going to be written on the walls of your soul like a branding iron, and you're going to remember these dreams when you're in the tough times. It's going to help you keep your eye on your destiny and not the betrayals. When I was young in the Lord, still a teenager, I had dreams. God spoke to me about my future. God showed me that I had a destiny. And I had powerful experiences with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God that were indelibly branded onto my heart. And how many times have I looked back on those and said, you know what? I remember the destiny. I remember the call. I remember the purpose. I remember the reason for which he laid his hand on me. I remember what he told me. So I'm going to focus on that and keep my head above water by remembering what God told me he was going to do. I'm going to remember the bigger picture. The bigger picture is not what they did to you. The bigger picture is God's plan, his purpose. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. And we are to be in that river, flowing in that river in his divine plan of salvation. We're a part of a master plan that God hatched before the foundation of the world. And so we got to remember that. Sometimes to get one thing out of your mind, you got to kick it out by thinking something else. So he remembered his destiny. You know the rest of the story. Pharaoh had two disturbing dreams. Joseph the dreamer interpreted them perfectly. And in a single day, the rejected, hated, lied about, slandered, and forgotten Joseph was hauled from the pit of prison to the pinnacle of success and proclaimed second only to Pharaoh in all the land of Egypt. And when Joseph rode through the street, you had to get on your knees and bow down. Like I said, where was Mrs. Potiphar? You know how I know he was free? Because he didn't hire a hit squad to go get his brothers when he got promoted, because he could have done it. Here's what he told them. Shaking, trembling, mortified, and terrified, his brothers said, are you going to hurt us? He said, no, no, no. Because what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Isn't that beautiful? To save many people alive. And the ultimate plan for Joseph was it kept the holy seed from being wiped out in a famine. So based on what Joseph was used of God to do, the future Messiah and his lineage was saved.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners, like you, to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.